Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in. Join Mike, a reporter based in Paris, as he gets involved in espionage, murder mysteries, theft, blackmail, and more, as he goes above and beyond to get the scoop on all these stories. Today's episode, the 1957 series, Europe Confidential. Now, as I've said before, I'm a big fan of mystery stories that revolve around reporters solving the crimes. And if you enjoy this episode also, be sure to check out Nightbeat and Bright Star in the archives. And while you're there, feel free to let me know what you think of this episode or the podcast through the comments on Spotify, my email, or my social media. All the links are in the description. And also, check out the random polls I do. It's a good way for me to get feedback about the podcast. And if you haven't already, please take the time to follow, review, and rate the podcast. The more ratings I get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast and enjoy these great stories. And a big thank you to all those who already have. Now with all that, please enjoy the show.
Presenting the world's greatest mysteries. And now, your host.
This is Basil Rathbone. In drama and fiction, newspaper men are invariably tough, hard-boiled characters. In real life, this is, well, it's not necessarily true, although several newspaper men I've known were as colorful as anything fiction has ever had to offer. Mike, whom you'll meet in a moment, is based on a real person who actually works for the European edition of a famous American newspaper. Not only is the character real, but, well, many of the stories which Mike tells are also based on fact. The tale you're going to hear today, for instance, you may even recognize from the headlines in your newspaper of, well, not so long ago. In a moment, Mike will introduce you to another mystery solved and signed with his own unmistakable trademark. Europe Confidential.
Presenting Europe Confidential.
Where have they sent you, Mike? Because you are so experienced in espionage?
Well, of course not. That isn't the reason.
Then you know, Mike. You know why people like you are sent on missions like this?
No, I can't say I do.
Because you do not matter at all, that is why. Because they do not care what happens to you one little bit. Because you are, how do you say, expendable.
In a moment, we'll bring you Lionel Merton as Mike Conoy, the Paris correspondent of a famous American newspaper, in another exciting story in our series, Europe Confidential.
Mr.
I write a column called Europe Confidential for the Paris edition of an American paper. You know, it's a strange thing, but the Army and I never got along very well together. Somehow, I never rose above the rank of private. And maybe it was because the brass hats and I never quite saw eye to eye. Well, this story I want to tell you is about my same old European beat, but switch the clock back a few years, 1943 to be precise, and picture private detention before a certain general who was about as happy as a nature lover in the wintertime. And the reason for his happiness... Yeah, yours truly.
I don't know why they don't take you out of here and put you behind a newspaper desk. As a soldier, you're about the worst I have in my army.
Well, thank you, General. It's nice to have confirmation.
You mean you agree?
No, sir. I mean your officers have been telling me that ever since we hit the English coast.
Trouble with you newspaper guys, you don't know the meaning of discipline.
Sir, I'd like to see you in the city room of the Chronicle making us slope typewriters. You'd be a riot.
I'd like you to remember, I am your commanding officer.
Yes, sir. Would the fact that you don't like me as a soldier have anything to do with the fact that we worked for rival newspapers back home? That I once scooped you on a very important assignment?
Nothing at all. The newspaper business is a long way behind me. The Army's my career now.
Yes, sir.
Now listen. You report to the address on this slip of paper. It's a tailor on Savile Row. The tailor has his instructions. He's to make you 3 suits, including the full suit and fish, and the whole outfits that'll be ready in 48 hours.
What?
Wait a minute. It gets worse. You go to the Savoy Hotel. You know where that is?
Yes, sir.
A room is reserved there for you. You'll register as a civilian. For purposes of cutting red tape, you're going to be a civilian.
Oh.
But here are your papers. You'll be taking a trip pretty soon. Yes, we're sending you away from all these bombs. Isn't that awful?
Yes, sir.
I wish we were dropping you by parachute into Bechtel's garden. But as it is, you're going to a nice, cozy, neutral country to have a long visit with a beautiful girl. It's discouraging. I tell you, this whole army is as nutty as a fruitcake.
I didn't say that, did I?
No, sir, you didn't. Yes, the Allied Command is sending you on a holiday, and you're traveling as a civilian with the rank of a full colonel.
That's what I mean about brass. An unfriendly attitude. Unnecessary, I call it. Since we were old newspaper buddies, why couldn't the general have been nice? Well, if he was, I guess he wouldn't have been a general. Of course, if you look at it that way, I was going to have to begin changing my loyalties, because according to my papers, well, I was part of the brass now myself. I got my new suits, and then they sent me to see a certain Captain Smith. I don't think that was his real name. He was something very high in the hush-hush department. It was all set up for midnight on the right side of Cleopatra's Needle. Oh, I can tell you, the whole thing was very cloak and dagger.
I say, could you give me a light?
We're not supposed to show a light.
That's correct. What was in the bottle?
Jenkins' ear.
Put out. How did Morgan die?
He died a governor.
Splendid. All the answers perfectly correct. Silly questions, Ron. Silly answers, too, come to think of it. But the silliness makes it easier to remember, I always think.
All right, if you say so, Captain Smith.
Let's get down to cases. We have borrowed you from your people because of your special qualifications. Languages, looks, a certain rather celebrated aptitude for the opposite sex, and a fair share of unmitigated gall. Plus a knowledge of Europe and some of the people you'll be meeting.
Yes, sir.
Don't call me sir. Remember, this isn't the army. Not strictly speaking. No, this is another show. What do you think of spying?
Well, I don't know. I never tried.
It's a dirty business, of course. Absolutely filthy. But then it's a profession like anything else.
Yeah, I suppose so.
For one thing, the pay is abominable. That's why so many of the regular pros turn double agent on us. You know what a double agent is, don't you?
Well, yeah, I guess so. An agent who sells out to another power.
Yes. We're on to most of that lot, of course. We use them when we can, but it's always sticky. No doubt about that. Sticky.
Another one of those V-2s.
That was in Chelsea, I'd say. Appalling weapons, aren't they? Guided missiles.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something, because it's going to be part of your job. This V-2 is nothing. Jerry is getting ready with something a great deal worse in the same line. About 10 times worse, according to our information. Yes, somewhere in Europe, more than 100 feet underground, there's a factory where they're busy perfecting quite a new thing. We have got to stop them. Want to help?
Well, sure, but how?
Your work has to do with an agent of ours working in Istanbul. You didn't ever happen to meet a female named Greenall, did you?
No, I don't think so.
Reddish blonde, sometimes auburn. Gray eyes, rather tall, speaks 8 languages perfectly, 5 or 6 more well enough. She's been a professional agent for more than 15 years. Good at her work, too. Yes, she's been quite valuable to us off and on. This, it appears, is one of the off times.
Oh?
Very much off. She was due to send us something rather important. You know, I gave you a hint about that.
You mean this new rocket factory? Greenall has the information about where it is, and she won't send it.
Worse. She's given us false information. We think the Germans have some sort of hold over her. Blackmail or something beastly. We'd like you to see if you can't get some sort of line on just what it is. We don't really expect you to succeed, but go down and have a try, won't you?
Yeah, but what do I do? Where do I go?
You'll receive sealed instructions when you get on the plane. Details, background, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, but look...
See that car across the way?
Yeah.
It's waiting to take you to the airport. Well, good hunting.
Hey, pilot! Pilot!
Yes?
That doesn't look like the Bosphorus to me.
No, it doesn't at that.
Looks like the Atlantic Ocean.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
But don't you know what it says in my instructions?
Oh, mustn't tell that, you know. Those instructions are supposed to be secret.
Well, that's all very well, but I'm under orders to proceed to Istanbul. And here we are in... Well, where are we, anyway?
Well, this flight isn't part of your show at all. We just happen to be carrying you, if you see what I mean. A little out of your way, of course, but there's an awful lot of red tape attached to getting in and out of these neutral countries.
Yeah, but look, my instructions...
Don't worry. There's bound to be some one of our chaps waiting to take you the rest of your journey tomorrow morning. Meanwhile, relax and enjoy Lisbon. We're coming in now.
Oh, so that's where we are.
Yes, better fasten your seatbelt. Wizard place, Lisbon.
Sure enough, they had me all fixed up for a flight to Turkey in the morning. Well, I wasn't complaining. There weren't any rockets falling on Lisbon, and anyway, it's always been one of my favorite places for having a good time. I checked into the hotel, changed into my new white tie and tails, and took a cab out to the casino at Estoril.
Comment vas-tu?
Genevieve, what are you doing in Lisbon?
Oh, my dear, in this city there are 2 things we try to avoid. Huh? The first is never, unless it is absolutely necessary, to address a friend by name. After all, you know, one's name may not be one's name anymore.
All right, honey, but what's the second rule?
It is a more strict one. We observe it very carefully.
Yeah, fine, but you can't expect me to obey the law if I don't know it.
You asked me what I was doing in this one.
Oh, that's it.
Sherry, no matter what the provocation, we never, never, under any circumstances, ask each other what we are doing in this one.
Well, I'm perfectly willing to tell you what I'm doing.
Oh, don't bother.
Well, why not? I've got a good job.
Oh?
Yep. I represent the biggest Swedish manufacturers of ball bearings. Tomorrow I'm going up to Stockholm.
To Stockholm? By way of Istanbul?
You mean you know?
Oh, Sherry, in Lisbon we said everyone knows everything about everybody, and no one asks anybody anything.
Oh.
The first is a question of pride, and the second of politesse. Oh, it's very warm in here. Shall we go out on the terrace?
Am I allowed to answer that one, or must I tell you in code? What are we allowed to talk about now?
Oh, why should we talk?
That's true. Why should we?
Ah, it was a nice kiss. You still do that very nicely, Mike, but...
What's the joke?
You're such a terrible spy.
Yeah, I guess I am at that.
Now, listen, Mike. I've always liked you. I'm not working for your people, but I know what you are up to. Don't go to Istanbul.
Well, I haven't got any choice, honey, but I think I'd go anyway. You know me, curious as a cat. Why shouldn't I go?
They put you onto something terribly big, Mike. Terribly important.
Well, that's very flattering, isn't it? Tell me, what do you know about a woman called Greenall?
Oh, she's been an agent a long time. I do not know her, but I've seen her once in Samorit and again in Deauville. Please, Mike, do not go to Istanbul. It is not the woman Greinal. It is a situation. I tell you, it is too big for an amateur. It is too big for anyone.
Maybe, but well, I'm a lousy soldier. This is more like the old newspaper days. They've at least given me a chance to handle this deal.
And why? Why have they sent you, Mike? Because you are so experienced in espionage?
Of course not. That isn't the reason.
Then you know, Mike. You know why people like you are sent on missions like this?
No, I can't say I do.
Because you do not matter at all, that is why. Because they do not care what happens to you one little bit. Because you are, oh, how do you say, expendable.
Well, I was on my way and I'd been warned. Promptly at 6 the following morning, we took off from Lisbon Airport and made Istanbul in good time and without incident. Well, when you're on a story assignment and you don't know where to start, what do you do first? That's right, you look up some old friends. Which was why around 11 o'clock that night, once again in the white tie and tails, I made my way to Georgette's, an upholstered sewer masquerading as a nightclub. I left my top hat with a Czech girl and called for the head waiter.
Good evening, sir. You are alone, monsieur? Perhaps I can get mine here at table? Near the floor, senor?
Where's Georgette?
I beg pardon?
Come on, you heard me. Georgette.
Georgette?
Yes, where is he?
There's no one here by that name, sir. Unless possibly you are referring to Monsieur Racine.
I wouldn't know, unless Mr. Racine used to be doing an act on a trapeze dressed like a girl in a blonde wig. Of course, that's a long time ago, in
Sir,
Berlin.
I have never in all my life traveled outside of Istanbul. I wouldn't
But why all this hocus-pocus and the mystery? Georgette's real name was George Beaton. And why I'm standing here telling you the story of your boss's wife, I don't know. Look, wait a minute. I'll tell you. I hadn't bothered to show you the color of the dough. Here it is. This is for you.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Now, please come this way. Through here, sir.
Thanks.
If you will step through the kitchen, sir. Here we are. Excuse me.
Yes, what is it?
There is a gentleman here who says he knows you.
Oh, yes. And who?
Hiya, George.
Mike, well, for Pete's sake.
Don't you think we'd better be alone?
Leave us alone.
Yes.
Well, Mike, it's been a long time.
Yes, it has. You're getting fat, old boy. You're also getting rich.
Not so fat, Mike, and not so rich. Yeah.
How's the opium racket?
Now, Mike, you know I don't ever monkey with that stuff. You newspaper guys are all the same. Just when a man thinks you're a real pal, you start the old snoop. What are you after?
Information, and I'm willing to pay for it.
With money?
With money. And top market price, too. You know an agent called Grinnell?
Suppose I did.
Who's shaking her down?
Well, who wants to know?
People with the dough, George. 500 English pounds.
I could use it.
All right, Georgie boy, let's get down to cases, eh?
Grinnell, she's a good looker. She has a sister.
Oh, is that it?
Our younger sister, called Julie.
Mm-hmm. Where is she now?
She's in Istanbul, too, but she isn't free to move around very much. You might say she's a guest at a certain embassy.
What embassy?
I prefer not to use proper names, Mike.
Yeah, okay, I can guess. The sister's being held in a German embassy. How long do they figure they can keep her?
Your guess is as good as mine, I'd say, for as long as Grinnell herself can be forced to function effectively.
You mean as a double agent?
Of course. She must have got onto something good, and the Germans must be particularly anxious for her not to spill it.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably hoping to use her to lead your people just as far away from the truth as possible, and for as long as possible.
And what happens when Grinnell gets tired of cooperating?
She's very fond of that kid sister.
Yeah, but what happens to her finally? To Julie, I mean. They knock her up, won't they?
Yes, I should think so. Oh, Mike, it's been pleasant meeting you. Goodbye.
Yes? What is it?
Miss Grinnell?
What do you want?
I came here to see you about Captain Jenkins.
What about him?
His ear's in a bottle. Also, there's Governor Morgan.
Come in. Come in.
Okay.
No need for all that rigmarole. I know who you are. You used to work on the American Chronicle in Marseille in 37. I met you once in Monte Carlo. Now they've sent you from London. What is your message?
Well, the message is supposed to come from you, Miss Grinnell. There's about 500 RAF planes waiting for the address of a certain rocket factory. The information is past due.
I've always given perfect satisfaction. My
good luck, save it, honey. Let's cut the whole thing down to facts, eh? Fact one, you know where that rocket factory really is. Fact two, I know where your kid sister really is. And fact three, get me that rocket factory and I'll deliver Julie.
How can you do that? There are over 60 people in the embassy. She's up on the third floor. There are armed guards.
Yes, they're giving a reception, aren't they? Tomorrow night?
Who?
The German embassy, honey. Now, don't go stupid on me. I want an invitation.
But how can I do that?
You can do it. You're working for them, aren't you? They don't know me here. I've got a pocket full of papers to prove I'm an American businessman from Columbus, Ohio, interested in opening a factory. Here's the name. Get me an invitation for that party and get yourself two tickets for Switzerland.
You mean you really
think... The plane leaves at 4:30 in the morning. Bring all the information on that rocket factory to the airport, and I'll bring Julie. Well, goodbye now. Sorry, but I've got to run.
Where are you going?
Yeah, you'd never guess. I'm going to play pinochle with the chief of the Turkish fire department. Goodbye for now.
Good evening, mein Herr. Mr. Cotton, isn't it? Yeah, I believe that is the name, Mr. Cotton.
Good evening, Mr. Ambassador. Very nice of you to invite me.
It is our pleasure, Mr. Cotton. The German Reich is particularly interested in the development of industry.
Yes, indeed.
I would like to put a few questions to you privately, Mr. Cotton. Won't you please step this way?
Well, Mr. Ambassador,
I won't keep you very long.
Well, all right.
Thank you. It is rash to talk serious business in this large public gathering. We will be much quieter in my study.
Yes, I dare say.
Through here.
Hey.
Put up your hands high and keep them there. This gentleman, as you can see, is armed, and this room is quite soundproof. He will not hesitate to use his gun.
Okay. Now what happens?
We will discuss that a bit later. Now I must return to my guest. I will be interested to learn why you were so stupid as to come here. I must say that in my entire diplomatic career, I have never had anything made quite so simple for me. I will return later. Meanwhile, Gerhard here will keep you company.
Well, Gerhard, here we are.
Keep your hands up.
The ambassador says I'm stupid, Gerhard. You agree with him?
All the Americans are stupid.
You think it would be stupid of me to try and get that gun away from you, Gerhard? Yeah, I suppose it would, but anyway, I'm going to try. Sorry I only got you in the leg, old boy, but there never was much of a shot.
Shrine!
Yeah, what I need today is to practice my marksmanship, and since this is such a nice soundproof room...
What are you doing?
What'll I try for, Gerhard? An arm or another leg?
No! No!
All right, then. Where's the girl?
Fat girl!
That was your right hand, wasn't it, Gerhard? You see, my aim's getting better. It's practice that does it. Now, let's try for a foot, huh?
No! No! She's in there! Screw that door!
Okay, thanks. Julie! Julie!
What do you want?
I'm not one of the Nazis, Julie. You'll have to take my word for it. I'm your sister's friend.
Listen, they're coming.
Yeah, we've just got time. Bolt the door.
It won't do any good. This is the only way out.
There's the window.
No use.
Yeah, the window's locked, isn't it? Here, give me that chair.
I tell you, it's no use.
One, two, three.
I tell you, it's hopeless. There'll be gardens on the side of the house. No one will hear. And besides, the embassy guards will be...
They're starting to break down the door. Jump, Julie.
Through the window?
Well, where else, you little fool?
But it's four stories to the ground. I'll be killed.
Jump, Julie. Go on, jump.
Oh, very well. It doesn't matter. Perhaps it's better to die this way.
Oh, shut up and jump. Oh. That's a girl.
Put that gun down.
Look out below, Julie. I'm coming after you.
You wish to kill yourself?
Well, Mr. Ambassador, you told me I was stupid. Auf Wiedersehen. That night, there was seen in the streets of Istanbul one of the strangest sights in the history of that historic city. A procession of firemen bearing two bundles wrapped in canvas rushed out of the German compound and boarded a hook and ladder. Then out of the bundles, which were, of course, firemen's jumping nets, there emerged two figures.
There too, Mr. Bent, we take you.
To the airport and step on it.
I've been reading your report. Very interesting.
Well, thank you, sir.
There's just one thing. Turkey is a neutral country. How did you manage to get all that cooperation from the fire department?
Well, I used persuasion, sir. You'll find it all down on the expense account.
I thought you might like to know, Private, that there was quite an air raid the other night over a certain factory on the Baltic Sea. Mm-hmm. The Germans won't be making that new rocket, Private. Not for some time, anyway.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, sir.
And I suppose you think we owe the whole thing to you, don't you, Private? Well, we don't.
No, sir?
That air raid was held 3 nights ago when you were in Lisbon.
But
Grenoble wasn't the only source of information, not by a long shot. I'm instructed to tell you that the facts we were looking for were sent to us from Portugal, from an agent by the name of Genevieve. However, the Allied Command are very grateful for your help. They've asked me to give you this. Now, wait a minute. Where did I put it? Oh, sometimes I think this isn't a war at all, but a grand convention of lunatics. I didn't say that, did I, Private?
Yeah, no, sir, you didn't.
No, I didn't think I did. Ah, here you are. This is from the Allied Command with their compliments.
Thank you, sir. What is it?
It's an address. They thought you might have lost it. It's that tailor in Savile Row. They want you to return the suits.
I've been listening to Lionel Merton as Mike Conoy in another exciting episode in the series, Europe Confidential.
This is Basil Rathbone again. As Mike takes the copy out of his typewriter to file his story, our play for today comes to an end. Well, goodbye now till we meet again to listen to another of the world's greatest mysteries.
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Presenting the world's greatest mysteries. And now, your host.
This is Basil Rathbone. In drama and fiction, newspaper men are invariably tough, hard-boiled characters. In real life, this is, well, it's not necessarily true, although several newspaper men I've known were as colorful as anything fiction has ever had to offer. Mike, whom you'll meet in a moment, is based on a real person who actually works for the European edition of a famous American newspaper. Not only is the character real, but, well, many of the stories which Mike tells are also based on fact. The tale you're going to hear today, for instance, you may even recognize from the headlines in your newspaper of, well, not so long ago. In a moment, Mike will introduce you to another mystery solved and signed with his own unmistakable trademark. Europe Confidential. Presenting Europe Confidential.
Luis.
Maria. What is it? What's happened?
Pepe. He's been gored by the bull.
Pepe.
He took the muleta and the sword. He was working close, too close. And he was slow, like you said, Senor Garcia.
What are the picadors doing? Quick. We must get up there.
The picadors drove the bull away, but they were late in doing it. They're bringing Pepe now to the infirmary.
In a moment, we'll bring you Lionel Merton as Mike Conoy, the Paris correspondent of a famous American newspaper, in another exciting story in our series, Europe Confidential.
This is Mike Conoy reporting on another assignment for Europe Confidential. I was in Madrid to get copy for my column, Seeing the Bullfights at the Expense of the Paper, when I first came across the story of Luis Mantilla. Matter of fact, I was there at the plaza the day it began, watching the spectacle, one of the crowd of thousands packed around the red fence of the Barrera, waiting for the appearance of Spain's great matador. I was there with another newspaper man, a reporter named Ben Forbes, who worked for the Associated Press.
Crowd are getting impatient, Mike. This kid, Pepe Dominica, just isn't good enough for them.
Yeah, I guess they're waiting for the big star, eh?
Luis Mantilla. Yeah. He's the reason why Madrid has turned out by the thousand this afternoon. You wait till you hear the welcome they give him.
Popular boy, huh?
Ah, the current idol. Already they're starting to compare him to Manoletti and all the great ones. Uh-huh. He takes risks, you see. Works close and gives them thrills. The crowd come for that.
Yeah. Say, that kid down there is working pretty close himself, isn't he? He nearly slipped that time. He ought to be careful.
Oh, they'll get impatient with him soon. Then Mantilla will be brought on. Hey, would you like to meet him later?
Who, the great Luis? Well, sure I would.
Okay, I'll arrange it. I'm on drinking terms with Jose Garcia, his manager. We'll go around to meet him after the show's over.
Luis, the plaza is packed. Dominguez tells me every seat is taken.
Good, Garcia.
The whole of Madrid is here to see the great Luis Mantilla.
To see him live, Senor Garcia, or to watch him die?
What are you doing here?
Never mind that, Garcia. How's Pepe?
There is something wrong with the boy. Today he's slow. He's working too close.
Get him out of there.
We can't do that. The president has not yet arrived. The crowd would not like him.
The crowd.
You should be out there watching him, Maria.
I could not bear it.
Let her alone.
It is not my concern, but you are, Luis, and you should be resting now. It is always your custom to rest.
Stop nursemaiding me.
I will go. I don't want to cause trouble.
Maria.
Afterwards, Luis, I shall do as Senor Garcia wishes and try to watch Pepe.
Luis, I don't wish to interfere.
But you are.
It's wrong.
It's always been wrong. Does that mean we can help it?
Ever since she saw you, that Maria has only had one idea in her head.
You can't blame Maria. It was a mutual thing.
A bad thing.
Nobody wanted it to happen. Now let me alone. You want me to give those patrons their money worth this afternoon? Well, get out and stop preaching.
Luis, I'm on your side. I'm only trying to do what is best for you and for everyone.
Luis!
Maria.
What's happened?
Pepe! He's been gored by the bull.
Pepe.
He took the bullet and sword. He was working close, too close, and he was slow, like you said, Senor Garcia.
What are the picadors doing? Quick, we've got to get down there.
The picadors drove the bull away, but they were late in doing it. They're bringing Pepe in now to the infirmary.
We saw it happen. The young matador worked in too close, moved too late, and suddenly the crowd was on its feet in horror. The picadors raced in and drove the bull away, then they carried Pepe Domenico off. The crowd waited, patiently at first, and then with mounting irritation as the program was not resumed and the arena remained empty. Officials of the plaza sought out manager Jose Garcia.
This is terrible, Garcia. The boy was too young. I should never have allowed Luis to persuade me he was ready for an appearance at the plaza. The whole program is threatened. And now... where is Luis himself? He should be out there.
Went to the infirmary. We must give him a little time.
We cannot give him much more time. The crowd is becoming impatient, and the Presidente is due to arrive. Get him out into the arena, Senor Garcia, or there will be trouble.
At least I found someone. Where's Luis?
I don't know. He left the infirmary.
Are they operating on Pepe? Is that why you are waiting here?
There wasn't any need.
Then he's all right. I'm glad. I'll tell the officials. It'll cheer them up.
He's not all right.
But Maria?
Pepe's dead.
I'm sorry.
I can't cry, Garcia. Is that an awful thing to say? He was so young and... before I saw Luis the first time, I was in love with him. All he wanted to be in the world was to be a great matador. And he lived for that. And he died for it, too. Only I can't cry about it.
Better rest. We'll talk about it later.
He had one idol in his life, and this morning we destroyed that. This afternoon he destroyed himself.
You told him. About you and Luis.
We thought that was the right thing to do. Don't look at me like that, Senor Garcia. I tell you, we thought it was right.
There's nothing else I can say to you, Maria. Nothing I want to say. I've got to find Luis and get him out into that arena.
So that the crowd may have their money's worth. They pay for thrills, don't they, Garcia? And for blood.
I'll tell the doctor to give you a sedative.
I don't need anything.
Then you'll have to excuse me. There's going to be trouble if Luis isn't in the arena by the time the president arrives.
This is intolerable, Senor Garcia. What do you mean you cannot find him?
Senor Domingo, give me a little more time.
Idiot! The Presidenta is here. The people are waiting. And the arena? It is empty. Never in all my years has such a thing happened to me before.
I've searched everywhere, senor. None of the picadors or the banderillos of Escadrilla have seen him. Ah, no one has seen.
Since he left that girl at the infirmary. Go back and question her. She must know where he is.
Perhaps it would be better to provide a substitute, Matador.
Substitute?
That is Cabello.
A second later, the crowd would tear the place to pieces.
But, senor...
Garcia, there are 40,000 people who have paid to see Luis Mantilla. And by heaven, they are going to see him. I'll speak to the Presidenta, and he can make an announcement about the delay.
As you will, sir.
And you find him. Question the girl again. She must know where he is. It is simply impossible for someone like Luis Mantilla to disappear.
Impossible? So it would seem. But that was what had happened. The waiting crowd was finally told the program was to be abandoned and their money refunded. They went home disgruntled, speculating on the strange behavior of their favorite torero. Of course, the story was headlined in Madrid the next day, in fact, for days afterwards, and the disappearance of Luis Mantilla was a topic of conversation wherever people gathered. The police came in for criticism because of their failure to find the missing man, but they were at a disadvantage. The one person who might have been able to help remained silent. It was just 4 days after this that I first met manager Jose Garcia. With Ben Forbes, I talked to him in a small cafe off the Avenida Franco.
Senor Forbes said you wished to meet me, Mr. Conroy.
That's right, senor. I've got a suggestion, and I'd like to get your opinion on it.
Yes?
Well, I'm a newspaper man, as you know. I'd like to conduct a private search for Luis Mantilla.
Are you serious?
Sure he's serious, Gardner. I can't talk him out of it. Mike's been deep into this thing. He knows all the facts.
Such as?
Well, that Pepe Domenico who was killed was Luis Mantilla's younger brother. And that Luis and the girl Maria were in love. And, of course, that Maria was married to young Pepe.
Well, that much is fairly common knowledge. What else?
Well, that Luis apparently went straight back to his dressing room after he left the infirmary, changed into street clothes, put on an overcoat and hat, and left the plaza. One of the gatemen thought that he recognized him and tried to speak to him, but Mantilla just kept walking. The guy thought he might have been mistaken.
All Madrid knows that, Mr. Conroy. And since then, he has been sighted by no one. But what I wish to know is why you think you can succeed when everyone, including the police, have failed.
Because for a start, I don't think the girl Maria would talk to the police or to you.
But she might to you, the newspaper man. I doubt that.
She'll have my word, and you can have it too, that I don't print any stories unless you agree. Well, it's worth a try, isn't it?
Yes, perhaps it is. I want to find Luis, and that is all that matters. Shall I make an appointment with Maria?
No. Just give me her address. Leave the rest to me. Well, there are all kinds of ways to get a story. Going in search of a missing matador was a new way for me. The address of the girl Maria was a small apartment building in the central residential area of Madrid. I went there the same evening. I rang the bell of her apartment, but there was no answer. So I went downstairs and I found a janitor, an old guy with a smattering of English who gave me the news.
Maria Domenico, on the third floor, senor. She live here no more.
Where's she gone?
Oh, I do not know. Last night she give up her key. She tell me that if anyone asks for her, I am to say she has left Madrid.
Thanks. Look, the fact that Maria's disappeared isn't the end of everything. It confirms our guess that she knows where Luis is and she's going to join him.
How can we find them without the help of Maria?
Oh, maybe she wouldn't have helped anyway. And there's this to remember. The trail Luis left is cold, but hers isn't. Now, there must be somebody close to Maria who could help us.
I don't know of anyone.
Well, think. Her friends, family. There must be someone.
Ah, Garcia. It is good to see you again, amigo mio.
Sebastian, stop that row. I'm talking with a friend, an American.
I know your friend is American.
You kindly stop playing that thing. I'm trying to think.
So you are trying to pay. With what, huh? You want to impress the American brainiest Jose Garcia. And you, Americano, you are a great aficionado.
He means, are you attracted to the ball fights? Go away, Sebastian. Take that noise box with you.
So you are irritable. You are never the same since Luis, he goes away. Where are you going to get a new torero, amigo?
I think if we ignore him, Mr. Conoy, he'll get tired of this.
Oh, tired of you, senor? Never. You are always good for a laugh. And little Maria, huh? Oh, what a one she is. Pepe is dead. Luis gone. So now she takes a third one.
What are you talking about, music maker?
Matthew Domenico. I seen him in here the day before yesterday.
Matthew?
They are talking very close across the table. Talking secrets, senors. Love secrets, perhaps.
My heaven, she was with Matthew?
Well, what's all this about, senor?
Luis's elder brother. The family name is Domenico. He's a lawyer here in Madrid. I think it is important that we see him as soon as we can.
Certainly, I was with Maria, Senor Garcia. Since Sebastian has told you, there is little point in my denying it.
We're still trying to find Luis, Matiel. And now Maria, too, has disappeared.
And you want to know why Maria and I met and what we talked about. Well, I am not sure that I can tell you.
I want to find your brother, to persuade him to come back to start again. People don't hold Pepe's death against him, Matiel. It was one of those things that happened, and now it is forgotten.
And you think that is why he disappeared? Because he felt responsible for Pepe's death?
I'm sure of it. Just as I'm sure that the crowds would have him back. And he'd be greater than he ever was before. I've seen them all. Belmonte, Manolete, Fasolito, all the past. Another year or two and he could be the greatest of them all. And it's not the money, Matthew. The other is the reason why I want him back.
I believe you.
Then you will assist us to find your brother, senor?
Huh? The two types of appeal. From Garcia, the emotional approach. From the newspaper man, the direct question.
Well, either you will help or you won't. I don't think there's any doubt that you can, if you want to.
One thing holds me back, Senor Conoy. When you find Luis, then what? It becomes a story in your newspaper.
Conoy has given me his promise. There will be no story unless Luis agrees. Let me promise you, Matiel. If he wants to come back to the plazas and the crowds that love him, then let the newspapers proclaim it on every stall and street corner. But if he does not, if he can't be persuaded, then there's an end of it.
I have your word? Both of you?
Yes.
All right. I'll tell you what I can. 3 days ago, I had a letter from Luis granting me power of attorney and asking me to draw funds for him from a bank account.
His own?
He had several since he began to make big money. This one was under another name, and so I was able to make the withdrawal without trouble. His instructions were to give it all to Maria, who would be joining him.
And you did that? Of course. At the cafe.
Yes. At the cafe when Sebastian saw us.
Tell me, where was the letter from, senor?
Valencia, Corsica. There was no other address than that. So now, if you want to find him, I think it is up to you, Senor Conoy.
Thank you.
I took off for Corsica the next day, and in the town of Valenti, I set out to search for Luis Mantilla. I had several photographs of the matador and one of Maria, and with these I combed the city's hotels and lodging places. It was slow, routine, a long succession of negative answers, until finally I questioned the proprietor of a small hotel on the outskirts of the town.
Let me see those photographs again, monsieur.
Yeah, here you are.
You are from the police in England?
No, nothing like that. I'm a newspaper man. I'm trying to find this man for a friend of his.
I would not like to think you tricked me. It would not be good to involve my friends in trouble.
Then you do know these people?
Oui, I know them. Luis Fernando, he stays here several days.
Oh, but look, that isn't...
He isn't his real name.
No.
It does not matter. Once he was someone else, now he's Luis Fernando.
Uh-huh.
And Maria, the girl who came 2 days ago, she is Maria Fernando now.
You mean they were married?
As soon as she arrived, monsieur, I am a witness at their wedding.
It was a long, tedious job getting the story from the proprietor, but eventually I managed to do so. Luis had stayed in the small hotel while waiting for Maria's arrival, and during that time, he and the owner had become friends. After the marriage, Luis and Maria had returned to a village in the mountains, some miles outside the city. With a great deal of persuasion, I learned the name of this village. Well, from that point on, it was very simple. Inquiries in the village led me to a small farm, and in a hired car, I drove there, arriving shortly before sunset. Two people were working in a field near the farmhouse, and even without another glance at the photographs, I knew that my search was at an end. Later, a lot later, after the shock of introductions were over, I sat with Luis and Maria and talked of the future and the past.
So there it is, senor. Luis Mantilla is dead, and Maria is dead. We are two other people starting a new life together.
That's how it is, and always will be, Senor Conoy, if you keep our secret, as I think you will.
Well, what about Garcia and your career back in Spain?
I'm sorry about Garcia.
I find it hard to be sorry for him. Luis was just a meal ticket to Garcia. He will find himself another one.
Well, I think you're misjudging the man, you know. I believe what he told your brother, Marcial.
Perhaps, but Garcia wouldn't understand.
You won't go back because of Pepe and of what happened?
Pepe.
Well, wasn't his death the reason why you chose to disappear?
Pepe's death? No, senor.
It touched off a spark that had been smoldering a long time. You tell him, Luis.
It was very bad for me when Pepe died. Maria was his wife, and I loved her from the first time I saw her. And because of that, in a kind of way, I killed my brother. And after he died, I walked back from the infirmary through the crowd. And they were hushed, it's true, but I saw the eagerness for tragedy, and the sense of death that was through them. And then suddenly I knew why they were all there.
Why, Luis?
To see death, senor. Not the bulls. The toreros themselves. That's what they came to see. It is nothing to watch a bull die, but a man riding out there on the yellow sand of the arena. Oh, yes, senor. That was it for them. Why, I've heard old men tell their sons. I was there the afternoon Farida died. And those who were there would have been able to boast that they'd seen the last time Luis Mantilla walked in the Plaza of Madrid.
Well, all right, so you were suddenly sickened by it. Couldn't you have announced your retirement?
Manolete tried to do that.
They spat on him, and people threw stones at his house, senor. The one thing the crowd will never forgive is for its idol to walk away unscathed.
They taunted him into coming back for one more season, and he never lived to see the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, I couldn't have gone out there into the arena, even for one more fight, because I think I would have been killed. As for now, senor, I have the feeling I'm going to live to be a very old man.
I left them there and walked away, feeling almost envious. For they were two people who knew where they were going. They were free of the chains that had bound them, and they were in love. The future belonged to them. They gave me permission to write this story, although I've changed some of the names so that their privacy remains undisturbed. And next season, the Bullrings of Madrid will have to find a new idol, for Luis Mantilla will never be going back to the plaza again.
You've been listening to Lionel Merton as Mike Conoy in another exciting episode in the series, Europe Confidential.
This is Basil Rathbone again. As Mike takes the copy out of his typewriter to file his story, our play for today comes to an end. Well, goodbye now till we meet again to listen to another of the world's greatest mysteries.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.